You're listening to the ISACA podcast. I'm your host, Abby Norton. Today I'll be speaking with David Leneau, Director of Application Security at Adobe and author of the September 2020 article, How Non-Traditional Backgrounds Drive Successful Security Teams Forward. Thank you for joining me, David.
You're welcome. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So to get us started, in your article, you discuss how professionals with non-traditional security backgrounds often have a lot of soft skills to bring to the table. Can you give some examples of these soft skills and talk about how they relate to security?
Sure. Yeah, so to be clear, when we're talking about non-traditional backgrounds, when it comes to security, one way to think about that is people who may not have a computer science or security related degree. And in that article, I had some specific examples of folks who are on our team. So we can run through a few of those just to give examples. So we have one employee who has a communications and journalism degree, and you could see how, as a central security team, part of our job is to be able to communicate with our customers. And our customers in that case, first and foremost, are actually internal product teams. So being able to communicate priorities clearly to internal product teams is an important part of our job. And secondarily, like, we do need to talk to customers, our company's customers as well. So you can see how communications is helpful there. We also have somebody who has a marketing degree. And you can see, like, a soft skill that you may need to bring to bear is being able to influence people without authority. That's something that we often have to do. Like, that's a fundamental part of our job as a central security team. So, you know, a marketing degree has some overlap with some of those kind of skills. We also have somebody who has a theater degree. And along similar lines, you know, it's important to be able to present ideas and to be able to give people evidence of why our priorities are matched with theirs. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of overlap here in terms of just being able to communicate clearly. So having the security subject matter expertise, like, that's obviously the most important part of being a security professional. But being able to take that expertise and communicate about it to the people who you're working with is a really, really important part of the job, especially if you're doing this central security team work. Even if you're not, if you're working in security, frankly, a lot of your job has to do with evangelizing to other folks about the importance of security. And, you know, I'm talking a lot about degrees, specific college degrees. I should also mention that you need to be open to having people on your team who have no degree at all. We have plenty of people on our team who don't have a traditional college degree. And what they do have is a passion for security. So that's a super important part of being a security professional, is caring a lot about security and being able to, you know, communicate that importance of security. So me personally, like, I think it's great along these lines. I think it's great to have somebody who has some kind of customer service experience in their background. So, you know, somebody who's even like bussing tables, or, you know, I've worked in a hotel in the past. That was a really important, there were some really important skills learned along the way there in terms of having kind of a customer service perspective when you're talking to other folks about security.
What are some tips and best practices for attracting diverse candidates for security roles?
So it's an important question. I guess to take a step back, let's talk about the security community in general. So one thing that I really, really like about working in security is the fact that we're all within the security community working to do the same thing, which is to make the world a better place, to borrow a line from Silicon Valley. We're working to make things better, to secure our customers. So if I'm talking to somebody who I work with within the company, or even if I'm talking to someone who works for a competitor of ours, there's no tension or like competitiveness in that conversation, because security community, we really like to share information. We like to, you know, for instance, like, if we have a problem, like, we'll ask our peers outside of the company, like, what tool are you using for this problem? It's a really great network of people. And so part of, you know, bringing in folks from outside is maintaining that network and maintaining relationships with people who do similar jobs outside of the company. And those people, maybe you're not necessarily trying to poach somebody from another company, but those people have their own network and they may know somebody who's a good fit for a position that we have open. So we like to keep a pipeline of potential new candidates. We like to keep that pipeline full at all times. And we do the same, you know, I recommend doing the same for folks within my team as well. So that's kind of like a good way to keep the pipeline full and to use the relationships that you've built and the rapport that you've built with folks. In terms of, you know, actually looking at diversity, there are a few things that we've done. So we sponsor a number of conferences that are focused on women in security. So, you know, pre-COVID, pre-pandemic, we would send members of my team to present at these kind of conferences and to recruit at these kind of events, which is super helpful. Another kind of thing just to keep in mind is for the interview panel itself, you know, leverage the diversity within your team and make sure that your interview panel reflects that diversity. And that way, if somebody comes in for an interview, they may be talking to someone who has a similar background or, you know, has something in common with them. Something that we've learned along the way is we have a no jerks policy for our team. And, you know, I'm using the edited version of that policy, no jerks, which has really helped. Like, basically what we're doing there is we're trying to hire carefully, look for people who are a good fit for the team in terms of personality and company culture. And what that means for our team is we look for people who care about the work they're doing versus, you know, trying to make a name for themselves or climb up the corporate ladder at the expense of somebody else, that kind of thing. So Adobe stresses the importance of EQ, and we look for that in candidates. So yeah, those are some of the things that we do, which I think those are helpful practices that we use.
So you've talked a little bit about the value of having that kind of security community. Mm-hmm. On a related note to forming those kind of connections, can you talk a little bit about how mentorships can benefit non-traditional job candidates?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. It's an extension of that security community conversation. You know, talking to people, asking for advice, sharing best practices. These are things that I really enjoy about talking with folks, both inside and outside my organization. So when it comes to mentorship, it doesn't have to be super formal. You know, I have lots of informal mentorships and mentees as well, but it can be helpful to actually set something more formal up. So I find that when I have, you know, nurtured a relationship with somebody who I feel like it really clicks, it can be helpful to kind of set up that formal relationship. And mentorships come in all shapes and sizes. So there are people who mentor me who are younger than me, who, you know, maybe haven't been in the industry as long as I have. And I also have mentors who, you know, sort of fit the traditional profile of, you know, somebody who's been in industry longer and has a real rich experience that they can tap into to help me along the way. So, yeah, and I want to talk about a couple of cool programs, cool initiatives that I think are worth talking about when it comes to mentorships. So Adobe has this Digital Academy, which offers kind of like career switchers, people who maybe have a real interest, like I mentioned, interest in security, people who have a real interest in technology, but maybe don't have access to funding for education. So Adobe Digital Academy, what it does is it gives people a boot camp, like a 3-month intense boot camp, a scholarship, a stipend, and then it leads into potentially work within Adobe, and people get assigned mentors, which is really cool. There are different flavors of those mentors. There's somebody from the technology team. There's somebody who might identify as coming from the community with which the candidate is associated with. And then there's somebody who has actually gone through the Digital Academy themselves, an alumni. So I think that's a really cool program. We also put out, you know, this is sort of a modern apprenticeship program is how we talk about it. We put out an open source playbook that talks about our process and offers tips and best practices, which I think is a cool way for us to share with the community. I also wanted to talk about the Prelude Institute, which is kind of a different approach to a similar problem. They offer intensive training In this case, it's focused on security-related jobs, and it's an outside organization. It's a lower-cost kind of alternative to the traditional, you know, college education, and it allows these sort of career switchers, people who maybe don't have those resources, to do an intense program that opens up, you know, gives them a foot in the door in security. So members of our enterprise security team did guest lectures at Prelude Institute. We helped build the curriculum for the program. And we have folks on our sales security support team that mentor students in the program. So yeah, I'm a big fan of mentorship, and I think it can help in a variety of ways.
This episode of the Isaka podcast is sponsored by Adobe. Adobe is changing the world through digital experiences. Great experiences have the power to inspire, transform, and move the world forward. And every great experience starts with creativity. Creativity is in our DNA, and the future belongs to those who create. Our game-changing innovations are redefining the possibilities of digital experiences. We connect content and data and introduce new technologies that democratize creativity, shape the next generation of storytelling, and inspire entirely new categories of business. Making these great experiences requires trust. At Adobe, we're committed to protecting the security, privacy, and availability of our products, systems, and data, so you can deliver trusted experiences every day. You can learn more about our efforts at trust.adobe.com. So earlier you mentioned an Adobe employee that had actually majored in theater and is now working in a security role. Can you talk about the role of creativity in security positions?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real big part of the job, especially when you look at security research. So people who are, for instance, presentations at big conferences like Black Hat or at CANSEC West or DEF CON, these big theatrical research presentations on topics like hacking an ATM and having cash like flying out of the ATM, or, you know, sort of really creative approaches to getting info leakage through like battery consumption or listening to sound waves, exfiltrating data through like a network connected printer, stuff like that. Those are real obvious examples of like, wow, that is something I never would have imagined was possible. And, you know, somebody just came up with this idea. So lots of creativity in that cutting edge research. And, you know, there's this cliche, like if you're doing offensive security, you only need to be right once to be successful, you know, to get that leverage in through the network or whatever it might be. And then to defend, you need to be right all the time. So in order to defend, you also need to be creative. You know, you need to be able to come up with ways to protect against these novel threats. And one of the problems that we're always trying to figure out is how do we scale? You know, plenty of software companies right now, they're operating at scale and doing a ton of pushes to production. Like there's always something going on. So how do we operate securely within those environments? You have to really think creatively to be able to do that and to make it happen. So, you know, creative problem solvers are what we need. Creativity, you know, being creative, that's one of Adobe's core capabilities. So it's something that we talk about, you know, across the company, not just within the security team. In our reviews, you know, our check-ins with employees, you are measured on, you know, how creative you're being. So yeah, it's a really important part of the job.
So we've talked about what enterprises can do to attract non-traditional talent. Could you give some advice to professionals hoping to break into the security field that might not have any traditional experience?
Yeah, I mean, right now there's a talent gap. So opportunities are out there and there's a lot of training available. So if you're passionate about security, you know, scratch that itch, like you should dive right in and do security. So you don't necessarily have to land a job before you can start working in security. So one thing that you can do, I mentioned, you know, you can do training. Basically, there's plenty of free training out there. Adobe is part of an organization called Safecode. I mentioned that, you know, the importance of that security community. Part of that is I'm a board member on Safecode. It's an industry organization where we share best practices within the organization and then we publish it out for the community as well. So Safecode has a bunch of free training that's available. A lot of it was based on Adobe's own security training. So that's a starting point. you can jump right in and sign up for HackerOne or BugCrowd, start reporting security issues against the companies that have bug bounties or have programs that allow vulnerability reporting. I know HackerOne has a Hacker 101 training that's available as well that helps you get started there. But really, as I said, like if you've got that itch, you can scratch it in a number of different ways and kind of get that foot in the door. Once you start reporting issues, it's a good way of getting attention from companies.
So I know we touched on this a little bit earlier, but can you talk a little bit about what Adobe is doing to diversify the talent and hiring pool for security?
Yeah, so it's a big thing, you know, across technology industry, increasing the talent pool because there is a talent gap, whether it's security or just in general in technology. So we're doing a lot. We've got this initiative called Adobe for All. And what's involved here is building a pipeline for future technical talent, basically. So one way that we on the security team have contributed to this is, you know, we've had people volunteer for an organization called Girls Who Code. You know, we've hosted sessions within our office as well. So Adobe also invests in other global organizations that'll help young people from all backgrounds. So especially young women and underserved youth to get excited about technology. I think that's a good starting point. We also work hard to source and engage talent from a variety of backgrounds. So I mentioned the Digital Academy program. We spearhead recruiting conferences and events to reach new candidates. And we work with our hiring managers to make sure our processes are as fair and as inclusive as possible. So we try to eliminate bias in our interview process, in our decision making. And then within the company, we educate employees. There's a lot of internal events to help employees learn how to drive inclusion, you know, like tips and tricks for running a meeting in an inclusive way, making sure that everybody gets a chance to give their input. We invest in pay parity. That's been something that we've worked on for years. And, you know, we've hit important milestones along the way when it comes to pay parity, as well as opportunity parity and, you know, making sure that people have opportunities in their career. And we support our employee networks, so building community within the company as well as outside of the company. So it's really great to talk about all this stuff. We also need to make sure we're delivering. So we're measuring our success in a bunch of different ways, and a lot of that is public. So there's a lot of work to be done. We can all do better, I think, when it comes to this. So I feel like, though, it's been great for me to hear people on our team talk about how they do feel like they can be themselves in a way at Adobe that they couldn't necessarily do at other stops along their career. So I feel like some of this is working.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds very valuable. So that's great to hear. So do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah. So, I mean, just to promote some of the things that I talked about, we're hiring. So we're hiring in the security field. We're hiring elsewhere. If you go to adobe.com/careers, check out the jobs that we have open. Feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me at first initial last name, dlano@adobe.com, if you have any questions or if you're interested in any of these jobs. And you can learn lots about security at our blog, our security blog. And we have an Adobe Security Twitter handle as well. So, you know, check that out. And yeah, those are the things I wanted to to promote. And thanks for the opportunity to talk. This is a really important topic, and I'm glad we had a chance to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you for having me, Abigail. Appreciate it.
That's all the time we have on this episode of the Isaka Podcast. But to make sure you never miss an episode, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.